Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we said this week, we're launching a new economy project here at the Brian Lehrer Show. It's a radio series and a Facebook community for people looking for work and for anyone who can offer them help. We call it Help Wanted. You can look at the site and join the conversation if you like. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And you may be surprised to learn that there are jobs going unfilled in the New York area right now because people don't have the right skills. That's the conclusion of a new report from the Center for an Urban Future and the Community Service Society. Let's find out what some of those jobs and skills are so that you might take full advantage of the opportunities they imply. There are policy implications of this, too. Julian Alsid from the Community Service Society and Jonathan Bowles from the Center for an Urban Future both join us now. Jonathan, Julian, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
And let me get right to the news you can use portion for our potential career changers out there, and we'll get into the policy questions after that. Your report says that already several key industries in our area, including high-value jobs in healthcare and information technologies, have experienced periodic worker shortages in recent years. Can you get more specific, maybe Jonathan, about those high-value fields with periodic worker shortages?
Sure. They include everything from registered nurses, carpenters, electricians, supervisors and managers of office and administrative workers, computer support specialists, licensed practical and vocational nurses, sales representatives. You know, there's very few fields that have a lot of openings today in this economy with an employment rate of over 10%, but it's a lot of these middle skill categories that require education beyond high school but less than a four-year degree. Some of these jobs are going unfilled today.
And you're right that information technology faces a skills crunch. 53% of employers responded to an industry survey in the fall of 2008 saying that finding qualified candidates is their biggest hiring challenges. So what skills are in demand that, current applicants can't fill in IT?
You know, it's really a lot of those basic programming skills. I mean, the best and the brightest, the top positions in those fields, usually New York can attract people from outside. That hasn't been a problem. And New York's fortunate that way. It probably will continue in a lot of key fields, investment banking, even fashion design, like your last guest was talking about. But for a lot of these mid-level jobs, New York needs to rely on its homegrown workforce. And I think too many of these basic skills I think New Yorkers don't have right now, and a lot of them are technical programming skills in areas like IT. But in others, it's just having that associate's degree that so few New Yorkers do today.
And Julian Alsid, let me apologize for identifying you as a co-author of the same report. You're working on kind of a national version of the same question.
Yes, Brian. Well, and you know, I would be very happy to be associated with the Center for an Urban Future's excellent report. Workforce Strategy Center looks at the same issue nationally, and what we're finding is similarly that across the country there's a mismatch between employer needs and the education and skills of much of the workforce. This is an issue that existed before the Great Recession and will persist and only get worse if we don't dramatically improve the way we prepare people for work in this country.
So, for example, to cite their report, it refers to jobs that require some college but not necessarily degrees, such as legal secretaries, as one example. And there was a report by another group called Skills to Compete that lists 20 middle-skill jobs with good growth potential through 2014. So, Julian, when you look around the country from your vantage point as executive director of the Workforce Strategy Center, what do you see? What can you tell people with, you know, maybe middle-range educations that that might help them with jobs that are going unfilled in this skills crunch?
Well, it really speaks to the point Jonathan made. Many of the jobs we're talking about require some post-secondary education. According to the Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce, the percentage of the workforce requiring some college or above, it's expected to increase from what is 59% in 2007 to 63% by 2018. What I'm saying is that what we're talking about, we're not just saying to people, get more degrees, get more bachelor's, get more master's. Many of the jobs we're talking about require an associate's degree or some kind of professional or industry-recognized certification.
It's interesting about the baby boomers impending mass retirements, Julian. That doesn't help people find a job this week, but boomers are already beginning to retire. And so do you see some job categories of as having more coming openings than others?
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at the U.S. Department of Labor statistics based on the retirement and dropout skill and demographic figures, labor is predicting a shortage of more than 35 million skilled and educated workers over the next 30 years. Many of these are beginning to happen right away. For example, I was just speaking with an executive recently in the energy industry, which is already facing worker shortages around the country. There hasn't been a big influx of new energy workers, and so not only are there jobs now for people, you know, running lines and so on, but as we look to the greening of the economy, the building out of our energy grid is going to require massive workforce that we don't have today.
Can you localize that, Jonathan Bowles, in terms of where the retirements are starting to take place in the New York area, creating openings?
Well, it's a lot of fields, but I mean, Julian mentioned the energy sector. I mean, this is something that that's similar in New York. I mean, heating, air condition, and refrigeration mechanics and installers, as of 2000, roughly 20% of them were 50 or older, and 25% of home appliance repairers, 26% of automotive body and related repairers, and 32% of maintenance and repair workers generally are over the age of 50. Also, other fields include pest control. When you think about the bed bug crisis that New York has had over the last couple of years, these may not sound like sexy job categories, but with the aging of the population, they're going to increasingly have skill shortages.
Listeners, any phone calls for Julian Alsett, Executive Director of the Workforce Strategy Center, and Jonathan Bowles, Director of the Center for an Urban Future? Their report on New York area jobs called the Skills Recession, 212-433-WNYC. If you have any calls about how this may apply to you or some of the policy implications that we'll get to, 212-433-9692. And Dean in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hello, Dean.
Hi. How are you today?
Good, okay. Thank you.
Well, I was just calling in about what you're speaking with the girl earlier about trouble finding work. I worked for the largest trauma hospital in northern New Jersey for 4 years in radiology and was let go in August. And I just finished a degree as a surgical tech in December. And I've been having major trouble finding work. I've been applying online, doing cold calls, just walking in and handing my resume into surgical centers, hospitals, and I haven't received many calls back. I received one call back for an interview, which I did interview for, but they're offering such low amount of pay that it wouldn't even be worth me of going to school to get a degree. And it's just, it's very frustrating, especially in the economy. I'm currently collecting unemployment, which barely is making ends meet as well.
So what do you think is the moral of your story, or are you trying to figure it out? Is it research to figure out where the openings are before you go back to school, or what do you think is going on?
Well, I just finished school and got my degree.
Right.
So even with a degree, it's especially in the healthcare field right now, everyone's scared about, you know, Obamacare coming in. So a lot of the hospitals aren't hiring. And I heard recently that about 10,000 healthcare employees last year were laid off in the healthcare field in the country.
Dean, thank you, and good luck. And Jonathan Bowles, I wonder if you can offer Dean any advice. Certainly your report says And the general stats that we hear from the Labor Department are that healthcare jobs are one of the only growing fields in the New York area.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess it's small comfort for your caller, but getting new skills in this economy like he is only going to put him at a better advantage in the years ahead. Healthcare is going to be a growing industry. You can bank on that. In the New York area, we have an aging of the population here. We talked about the baby boomers, but this is going to lead to significant job growth in this field. And getting the precise skills that he has, you know, when the economy does pick up, when hospitals are, you know, not ailing as much as they are right now, you know, I think he'll do okay.
And good luck, Dean. And he did apply himself to get trained in something very specific, surgical tech. So hopefully something will open up. Dave in Pearl River wants to talk about shortages as a result of an aging workforce. Hi, Dave.
How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Oh, not much. I actually work in a maintenance department for a nonprofit up here in Rockland County, and everyone that I see, from contractors that come in to the people in our maintenance department, I mean, I'm 27. Everyone else is in their late 40s to early 50s. I mean, looking just across the board maintenance-wise, I'm not seeing anybody under the age of 30 now.
When you say maintenance, like being able to do what kinds of things and what training is required?
Well, I mean, as far as like inside maintenance goes, pretty much the only training that's really required is that you work for a construction company. You know, electrical and plumbing, HVAC and carpentry. I mean, a lot of places now are looking for well-rounded people, and a lot of people aren't well-rounded. They're very specific. I mean, you get a lot of people going specifically into electricians. You get a lot of people specifically going to be plumbers. But when it comes to all-around maintenance, it seems to be a field that's going to be having a lot of shortages in the next 10 years.
That's a great tip, Dave. Thank you for calling it in. And I wonder, Jonathan, whether this is where policy meets individual need or where because the larger point of your report, I think, is that our educational institutions are not necessarily preparing people for the kinds of skills that are in demand now or could be in demand in the near future.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think this particular field that your caller mentioned, looking at these service fields and maintenance fields, that's one that certainly isn't sexy, doesn't get a lot of attention, but there's a number of service-related fields, servicing, not services, but servicing things, servicing computers, cable systems, and other things that really are going to be in great demand and have a, kind of an aging out of the population. I think that there is a role for policymakers here. I think that there's something at stake for the city here. I mean, we're going to be at a real competitive disadvantage if our employers in New York continue to have struggles finding the skilled employees that they need. At the same time, if we have a large segment of our population, and we do right now, that can't get middle-income jobs because they lack the skills, you know, we're no longer going to be nurturing a middle class, and that's been so critical to New York over the years. There's going to be tons of New Yorkers really relegated to low-wage, dead-end jobs, and just that's not good for New York.
Julian, why wouldn't colleges just rush to offer education in any field in which jobs are available and skills are needed? You would think that would meet a demand almost, you know, obviously, by potential tuition-paying students.
Well, that's a very good question, and to some degree, there is such a rush taking place, and the big emphasis now on community colleges as sort of a key provider of training in this country. I mean, they tend to be more nimble and more industry-focused. But I do think that historically in this country, we've relied very largely on this notion that a good general education is all we need. And I think what we're arriving at now, as our economy becomes more and more demand-driven, people do need a solid academic grounding. They need to be able to read, write, do math, think critically, solve problems, communicate, and so on. But they also need some technical degrees. They also need how to maintain a building or a car or a computer.
Let's get one more call in here. Jennifer in Brooklyn. Jennifer, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. I just wanted to say I'm a registered nurse, and I started out by getting my associate's degree because I didn't have the money to go to school to get my bachelor's. And though I think that was really helpful, now the nursing profession is really pushing people forward to get their bachelor's degree. You know, the profession's moving forward. And here in New York City now, it's really difficult to get a good nursing job without a bachelor's degree, the mid-level or associate degree positions are really hard on your body. They're the worst positions. They're usually in places that have less staff, less help for the nurses.
Right. And Jennifer, forgive me for leaving it there, but we're running out of time. Jennifer brings up something that's in your report, Jonathan, which is, I think, a key when you talk about skills recession. Jobs that were being filled by people with associate degrees are now more and more, and I guess nursing is one of them, going to people with full bachelors.
That's true. And, I mean, it really speaks to the education premium in this city. And sometimes there are jobs that an associate's degree probably would do. That's the skills that are required. But when you have a lot of people with bachelor's degrees that are applying for these jobs, that becomes the floor. Employers will almost certainly take the person with that bachelor's degree, and I think that's what's happening in the nursing field.
So
the good news is that we do see a continued shortage in that area. People are retiring.
All right. Well, it is encouraging for a lot of people to know that in some areas there is what you call a skills recession in this new report from the Center for an Urban Future. And Julian Alsett, Executive Director from the Workforce Strategy Center, thank you very much for joining us as well. People can get trained. There are going to be openings if there aren't today in many fields. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And happy President's Day, everyone. We will go out today with a song from the Animaniacs to help you remember just who you're getting the day off for.
Hi-ho, do you know the names of the U.S. residents who then became the presidents and got a view from the White House loo of Pennsylvania Avenue? George Washington was the first, you see. He once chopped down a cherry tree.
President number two would be John Adams, and then number three.
Tom Jefferson stayed up to write the Declaration late at night. So he and his wife had a great big fight, and she made him sleep on the couch all night.
James Madison never had a son, and he fought the War of 1812.
James Monroe's colossal nose was bigger than Pinocchio's.
John Quincy Adams was number six, and it's Andrew Jackson's, but he kicks. So Jackson learns to play politics. Next time, he's the one that the country picks.
Martin Van Buren, number eight, for a one-term shot as chief of state.
William Harrison, how do you praise? That guy was dead in 30 days.
John Tyler, he liked country folk.
And after him came President Polk.
Zachary Taylor liked to smoke. His breath killed friends whenever he spoke.
1850, really nifty, Miller Fillmore's in.
Young and fierce was Franklin Pierce, the man without a chin.
Follows next a period spanning 4 long years with James Buchanan. Then the South starts shooting cannon, and we got a civil war.
A war, a war down south of Dixie.
Up to bat comes old Abe Lincoln.
There's a guy who's really thinking.
Kept the United States from shrinking. Saved the ship of state from sinking.